This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
When humankind began to mine mercury, the second deadliest element on Earth after plutonium, the metal began to accumulate in our food, our air, and our water. Today, worldwide environmental mercury exposures are skyrocketing, and our personal levels are rising higher than ever before. Recent studies have detected mercury in the blood of 30% of women in the United States. That figure is more than 1,500% higher than it was just 10 years ago, an increase of 1,500% in a decade. Now, in the new book, The Age of Autism, co-authors Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxall reveal startling new discoveries about the link between mercury poisoning and autism, as well as other devastating illnesses and disorders. They show how mankind has unwittingly been poisoning itself for half a millennium. It's a great honor to welcome to this program Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxall. Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Yes, Coy, good to talk to you again.
So, Dan, let me ask you this now. I thought that, mercury poisoning was taken off the list. Didn't the CDC say that, mercury has nothing to do with autism?
The CDC did say that. In fact, that their latest study even suggested that maybe the more mercury you got in vaccines, the less likely you were to have autism, which, of course, is ridiculous and suggests that there are basic flaws in their methodology, which is usually the case with the CDC. I think there's been this big effort to sort of say this issue has been solved in terms of there's no connection with mercury, either in vaccines or otherwise. And, we beg to differ, and that's what our book is about, really.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxall. The book is The Age of Autism, Mercury Medicine and a Man-Made Epidemic. It's just been released, and we urge all the listeners to pick up a copy, whether you're listening to this live broadcast or the podcast online. Mark, a man-made epidemic, you think the evidence is there to support that?
Absolutely, Coy. I think that's one of the most bedrock findings that, that we've articulated in our book. Before 1930, the rate of autism in anywhere in the world was effectively zero. But now we're talking about rates in the United States of 1 in 100 kids, in some cases higher, in some areas higher. You don't go from 0 to 1% or more of children in the lifetime of a single individual without something changing in the environment. That means it's got, what we're seeing now is a crisis, and it's clearly man-made.
So, Mark, let me just follow up on that. Then, what are we to make then of doctors and whether our family doctors or at the CDC who are saying no, there's really nothing there, and there's no science to support it.
Well, I think the whole discussion gets turned on its head, and I think the discussion about autism ought to begin with autism. Autism is a very severe, disabling condition. It's lifelong. It's hard to miss. You don't sort of turn around and wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, we were missing all of these autistic people before. One of the people who first saw it, or one of the colleagues of Leo Kanner who first observed it, was skeptical that such a thing existed. And then when he started to see children in Europe, he said that, each case was like each other, like one raindrop to another. It's not hard to find autism. And if we've gone from a rate of, of zero to a rate of 1% of children in a very short period of time, the burden, first of all, that's just astonishing. There's no other childhood health condition in any of our memories that that comes anywhere close to this. So our obligation as a civil society is to seek out the causes. They're obviously environmental. And so any environmental exposure that has been increasing or changing in the same time period that we've seen these increases, and the increases or the changes in rates have been most precipitous in the last 10 or 20 years. You know, I think you'd have to say, as a responsible citizen, that any environmental exposure that's increased in that time frame is fair game and deserves investigation. And unfortunately, instead of starting the conversation with autism and the cost and the burdens that it creates, we tend to start the question with vaccines, or the discussion with vaccines, which I would argue certainly need to be, you know, under consideration, and based on all the stories you hear from parents, is almost certainly causing some cases of autism. But the one thing that the medical industry tells us is that they don't know anything about autism, but they don't know one thing for sure, and that's vaccines aren't involved. I would suggest that's a defensive reaction and really not the kind of responsible scientific inquiry we ought to have on these issues.
We're honored to be talking with co-authors Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxell. The new book is The Age of Autism. Dan, give us an idea of some of the things that your research unearthed, some new things that you're bringing to the table in our understanding of this, as Mark points out, this very historic and frightening epidemic that now affects 1% of children.
Well, the core of our book, Coy, and I think this is something you and I have talked about as some of our research has gone on, is to look at the first cases of autism that were reported in a medical paper in 1943. These were children born in the 1930s, and the paper was written by Leo Kanner, a noted Johns Hopkins psychiatrist. And they were just the first name and last initial, and in some cases even those were pseudonyms. But he dropped enough clues that in this modern era, we were able to find 7 of those 11 children and their families. And their families were very interesting because we believe that in the backgrounds of most of them, you can see exposure to a new kind of mercury compound that came on the market right then. It was called ethylmercury. It was used in lumber, fungicides, in seed disinfectants, and as a preservative in vaccines that is known as thimerosal. And so we've got a plant pathologist and a forestry professor and a pediatric public health official who was the mother of one of those cases. We've got a lot of medical connections, a lot of scientific connections, and unfortunately, that was overlooked at the time and ever since, as we veered first to blaming parents' behavior and then saying that there was something wrong with their biology or their genes. We don't think either of those add up. So we bring it forward, but also, and this is where we were surprised ourselves, is we started looking further back, and we found a number of disorders that we think sort of portend the coming catastrophe because the medical industry was so reckless and kind of clueless with its use of mercury.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said of the book we're now discussing, The Age of Autism, that it is a devastating account that shows how medical and manufacturing interests have mounted an assault on human health for decades and covered their tracks along the way. Autistic children are the canaries in the coal mine. We're talking with co-authors Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxell. Mark, tell us the story of Hannah Poling and the significance of this, of her case, and what we learn from her case vis-a-vis, you know, what the government knows and what the government is willing to say.
Well, Hannah Poling, first of all, has two terrific parents, John and Terry Poling, who are both well-educated and just successful professionals. John's a neurologist. Terry, I believe, is a lawyer.
And a nurse.
Which equipped... Say again, Dan?
And a nurse.
And a nurse.
And a nurse,
yeah.
That's right. Which I think equipped them well to, you know, navigate the vaccine compensation procedures that our government has set up. And unfortunately and tragically, you know, their beautiful daughter, Hannah, who was... because she had been sick, got a little behind in her immunization, so she went to the pediatrician, had a catch-up visit, and had a catch-up on her childhood immunizations, and had something like 9 different vaccines on the same day. And almost immediately had a negative medical response and went through a cascade of just illness and adverse reaction, which ended up in a diagnosis of autism alongside some relatively severe seizures, which often go along with autism. That story is very familiar to a number of parents who have observed similar vaccine injuries in their children and that subsequently led to autism. But in the case of the Polings, they had a convincing enough case that the government decided to concede that indeed Hannah Poling was vaccine injured, which is one of the only cases on record where we have a government concession, and they are using the words autism or the word autism in the concession statement. The Polings were open to, or were determined to get that that word out a little bit, and so the concession was heavily publicized.
We have the U.S. government say in a court case that yes, the mercury preservative in vaccines did contribute to this little girl's autism. It's a case that most people haven't heard of. If you're in the autism community, you certainly have, but most people don't know that the U.S. government did say yes, the mercury in vaccines did contribute to this little girl's autism.
And so the question then, because thanks for cutting the chase there, Coy. I'm trying not to misrepresent their case. I mean, there are so many pitfalls in that argument. But the beauty of the concession is that when people say, oh, vaccines don't cause autism, the answer is no, they do cause autism in some cases. And in at least one case, the government has conceded that. And in at least probably 1,300 others that we know of, there are children with autism who have received compensation for vaccine injury. And the only difference between them and Hannah Poling is that their lawyers figured out if they used the word autism, that was a hot-button term, and they wouldn't get any money, or they wouldn't get any compensation from the government. So we know that vaccines can cause autism. The question at this point is how many children who have suffered brain injury and vaccine injury and ended up autistic, how many of the cases of autism are caused by vaccines? We know that not every case of autism is caused by vaccines. There are some relatively infrequent cases of children who've never been vaccinated who are also autistic. So it's not a one-to-one phenomenon, but the suggestion that vaccines never cause autism, the government's conceded that fact. That's a fact at this point. And the question is, how many cases of autism have vaccines caused?
We're talking with Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxall. The new book is The Age of Autism. Dan, if we know for a fact now that mercury in vaccines is related to autism, and this is now a fact, scientists have shown it, the government has conceded it, why aren't we seeing the real research, the money behind the research to explore this connection?
Well, as Mr. Rogers would say, can you say conflict of interest, boys and girls? I think, we don't believe that public health officials and pediatricians get up in the morning and decide to continue in a vast conspiracy to harm children. We think that stupidity and arrogance and a lack of willingness to face the consequences is plenty of an explanation. But the truth is that even the doctors and the public health officials said in 1999 when they suggested urged drug companies to phase mercury out of vaccines that just on general principles it's not a good idea to have mercury of any kind as an exposure to pregnant women or infants. But they have since then, unaccountably and I think tragically, continued to promote the use of mercury in flu shots, and flu shots are everywhere. You can't get out of your local grocery store without practically getting jabbed in the arm while you're scanning your groceries. And this we think is symptomatic of the situation here. It's kind of a parallel universe where, on one hand, yes, vaccines that include mercury have been stipulated to cause autism, but no, there's not enough mercury, or whatever the argument is, in the flu shots. and all the cases that appeared in vaccine court were just dismissed recently, although many of them were very similar to the polling case. So, you know, we scratch our heads, and we also believe that it's time for, you know, the government to step up to its responsibilities here and take back control of public health from organizations that have conflicts of interest, because they're you know, involved in doing things to make money. And that's, again, not a crime. It's part of the picture, but, you know, we can't be making money at the expense of our children's health.
We're talking about the new book, The Age of Autism. It's just been released, and I encourage everyone to get a copy of this and read it as quickly as possible. Mark, let me just tell you something before we have to break here. I sat with presidential candidate Barack Obama a few years ago, just 2 feet from him, and I looked him in the eyes and I told him the story of my family, which is a very common story of a child with autism, and I told him that we in the autism community are looking for a candidate who will realize that this nation faces a great tragedy and a crisis that must be addressed immediately. And I asked him, are you that guy? And he said, yes, I am that guy. He has shown me that he's not. But what's your take on the politics of this crisis?
Well, I think your interview, Coy, was memorable. I even wrote about it and was hopeful that we would have change. I don't think we've seen change in government policy. If anything, I think the current administration has been worse on autism than the prior administration, although I can't say either one of them were distinguished. To me, the nub of the issue was pretty clear when the Department of Health and Human Services all last year spent, you know, the only issue on health aside from health insurance reform, healthcare reform that they worked on, but the only, you know, immediate public health issue that they were working on was the swine flu, and they worked on it every day and loudly, not mentioning that they were including mercury in that package, and they ended up with the mildest, you know, flu season in recent years, and a windfall for vaccine manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies, you know, in the billions of dollars. When, you know, at the same time, they finally got around to sharing 4-year-old data on the rates of autism in states around the country that had reached over 1% in several of the states that were in the survey. They, you know, took special care to release that information on Friday afternoon, the day before the Christmas holiday. I think that tells you what, you know, what kind of priorities, you know, Kathleen Sebelius in particular is placing on public health. The autism epidemic is buried and ineffective, and unsafe or potentially unsafe vaccine programs are hyped to the nth degree. You know, I don't think that's the kind of change that's going to promote the health of children and the health of a population in the long run. It's unsettling. It's disturbing. I hope that, you know, that this administration can turn it around. A lot of us spend a lot of time trying to persuade people to deal with the autism epidemic. Unfortunately, we haven't seen the kind of change that we need just yet.
The new book is The Age of Autism, Mercury, Medicine, and a Man-Made Epidemic. Co-authors Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxall. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you both for this book.
Thanks, Coy. It was nice to be on.
Coy, your advocacy is tremendously important, and so we thank you as well.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.